Welcome back to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast series. Welcome back to the audio podcast or the video series if you join us today. Today I'm joined by Matt Karuna, a young gentleman that I had the moment of meeting at UPW Sydney last year. And it was in that moment that I met him and the thing, something that he'd done that had not changed my life at that moment, but hundreds of others that experienced it was part of it has been part of the UPW crew. Just to lead and build up the story around it, to anyone that's gone to a UPW Tony Robbins event, on the night one, there's a fire walk. So what this is about a 20 meters of fire that we put out the coals, and you got to overcome your fear and your challenges, walk across the fire to someone on the other side of the crew member, and they greet you, and you have let go of all the stress, the anxiety, and the problems you have in your life. But what makes Matt special about this moment, what makes that key moment in my life and all the 300 members of the crew was that I did not know at that stage, I had not met Matt at that stage, is on our aisle one for the fire walk, we had our special needs or people that needed assistance to do this. And people not knowing, Matt is in a wheelchair. Matt came up to the lane one. I'm guessing everyone looked around and said, hold on, there's no chance, it's not possible this can happen. And I was told by some of the crew, all that happened is Matt turned around and said to someone, take my feet, I'm walking across the fire. And Matt went across the fire on his hands. Now, to anyone that can imagine that moment of seeing someone not just walking across it, being empowered on their legs, but someone that is unable to walk, to do it across their hands, at that split second, all our lives are changed. And that's how I was introduced to Matt and his story of why today he's inspiring others from a problem, stress, depression, and anxiety that he had to overcome as a teenager. That led him to be in a wheelchair, but led him to be in a moment and a place in his life that he can take that story and change people's lives. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's an honor.
So as I said, you know, UPW Sydney, that was the moment you were brought into my circle, into my ward, and realizing it at that moment of going into the fire walk. And you know, it must have been a challenge for you to first to realize that, hold on, am I actually going to do this? Am I going to overcome this challenge of going on a fire walk, but actually fundamentally, I'm actually in a wheelchair?
Yeah, it was in a way. When I first heard about Tony Robinson's UPW experience, I was really unsure, although I knew I was going to do it somehow.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm going to find a way. And I was like, look, I don't have my feet to do it. I've got other limbs. I've got my hands. So, and yeah, I was just so set on, I'm going to do this. And yeah, I like to think I need to adapt. Not everyone else needs to adjust to me. And it is my duty to adapt to people and to the world around me.
You know, that's great. You're saying it's your duty to adapt. You know, we take it back a handful of years before, for anyone that doesn't understand Matt's story, and I'll let Matt get into a bit more of that, in the sense of he didn't end up in a wheelchair from a condition as a kid. He didn't end up in a wheelchair from a sports injury. He unfortunately, and you could say fortunately, because you can see the inspiration he's doing in people's lives today, he ended up in a wheelchair because of a situation he got himself to as a teenager. Finding no way out, and unfortunately trying to take the way out that too many of our kids these days are doing, and ending up surviving that situation and end up in the wheelchair. Now, Matt, would you just take our listeners through sort of that time period of yourself, what led up to it, so they can understand your backstory?
Absolutely, yeah. So it wasn't like something I'd thought about just for a day. It was a buildup of thoughts, emotions, and feelings over the span of about 4 years. It started when I was 12. I've always been a curious person, tend to ask a lot of questions and love to go deep. And for some reason, these questions one day popped up. It was like, what's the meaning of my life? I didn't know how to answer that because it was quite a heavy question. And with that came, if I was dead, would anything change? Like, would anything around here actually change?
Yep.
And with that came, am I a valuable part of society? Now I had an answer, right? I was 12 years old. I had no job, lived at home with my parents, which meant for me, I was just taking up space. So if I was gone and dead here, nothing would really be changed. There'd just be more space, which meant my life meant nothing. And I did not like that answer. I hated it, but it was the only answer I could come up with. And I labeled myself as worthless because of those answers. And labeling myself as worthless led to a depression. And with a depression, and I suppose some of it to being a male, like no one talks up, no one speaks. And no one in my family spoke about their bad times and they're upset. They just kept to themselves, looked away, didn't say anything. But when they were great, they boast about it, they would share. And same with my friends. So around me, it was always about keeping to yourself. And so I adopted that very quickly, which led to some anxieties too, because I didn't want to talk about myself. I was not comfortable. Eventually, when I was 13, I started experimenting with drugs, fell into a cocaine addiction, started dealing to keep that up. And ultimately, when I was 16 years old, I jumped off a building, which is why I've got a spinal cord injury and a traumatic brain injury. The brain injury doesn't affect me now. I'm very fortunate. I did come out best case scenario 35 injuries later. But yeah, so that was it. Everything leading up to the actual jump itself.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to talk through and try to understand that moment or understand that situation you found yourself in. But what is more of a problem of it? It's not more of a problem. What is more of a challenge of it? And it's some days sad, and that is to see how common and how normal that almost seems to be, that kids almost accepting it through that. So we've seen teenage kids are not speaking up. Like you said, they're not speaking about the problems or not being taught it's okay to speak up, right? And taught, hey, if you've got a problem, put your hand up and say, I need help, because we're taking our future generations, not giving them the right tool set to say it is okay not to be perfect. It is okay not to feel that you fit into the circle and let's help you out. Because mental health problems, depression, suicide is massive across Australia as well as New Zealand, but it's even bigger in kids and teenagers. And you know, you just spoke about it. Your family, the rule, what you're taught, and there was nothing wrong with what your family did. It's just the way society is these days, especially on the male side, going, you got to be male, you got to be a big boy, you got to stand up. You know, if you got a problem, put it aside, don't talk about it. And that shit just doesn't work anymore. That shit just doesn't fly anymore. And I'm happy to say that you got through that and you are here today and you survived that to be able to do that. And I'm happy that you can tell the story to help others, that there never has to be another person that you speak to that has to feel that they can't have a moment and go, I need some help.
I feel passionate about letting people know that it is out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first thing is the awareness that help is out there. Mm-hmm. Then secondly, it's the stigma as well.
Yep.
It's just so massive. You did touch on this, but I just feel so passionate about it because it's still prevalent. No matter how much awareness we're giving it, it's still out there. And I think we need to be more real with mental health and just not cloud up the dark stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, just be real about it. And yeah. Anyways, let's go off on a tangent there, but
all good. you know, be real about it, Annette. And Matt goes and goes around to schools in Australia and everywhere he goes and speaks up in front of the teenagers and tells his story and tells everyone that's willing to listen, you know, what he went through and what his situation was. And, you know, as I said, impacting lives where it means to be impacted in the young kids and teenagers that are so fighting against just trying to figure out who they are, let alone understanding of what is right and wrong. And I can imagine through those moments, I mean, Matt, you spoke about the first time you did your first speaking gig, and it was actually at the hospital where you got asked to speak in front of, I think, 30 students. And you spoke about that moment of almost not thinking you're worth saying anything about what you happened, but the moment when it finished and how those students came up to you and what they did to you that made that moment.
Yeah, so the thing about me and speaking was I didn't like talking in general, right? Before my injury, I never spoke up. And I never really reached out for help and shared like authentically and vulnerably. Mm-hmm. And then after my injury, nothing had changed. Seeing psychologists twice a day drove me nuts. Being under 24 hours, a 24-hour watch drove me nuts. And when I was presented with an opportunity to share my story.
Yep.
I just didn't like sharing, like talking. So it was really iffy, but it was a matter of my heart saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my head saying, well, what if you could help someone? How would that feel? And yeah, wow. And so I gave it a crack. And yeah, like you mentioned, after my first time sharing, I was shaking. I was extremely paranoid, like, and anxious. I was like, well, shit, what are all these people like thinking of me right now? And these are 30 high school students, exact same age as me. I was 17 at the time, and they all know my darkest secrets.
Yeah,
I in a way felt naked. And then they came up to me afterwards, and a lot of them thanked me. They said it inspired them, and some even said they wanted to help their friends. And when they said that, that's when it really hit me. Like, my dark past was now used to inspire someone to even help someone or guide someone to want to help their friends. That's massive. Like, and I became grateful for certain things in my life. Don't get me wrong, I was still depressed. Like, but I now had a reason to speak up more, right? Like, in terms of sharing my story. So I thought I was never going to do it again, but my manager called me when I was on the way home, and she was like, Matt, I want you to speak next week at the school that I managed to get a gig at. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
And it went from 30 students in a room to now 300 people. It was a parent and student evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even more scared, but it was even better in a way, the feeling I got afterwards, that it became apparent, like, this is what I've got to do more. And I now had a why.
Yep.
So yeah,
it's so sometimes it's hard to understand and to question, you know. And there's a question that's on my mind, and I can imagine if I ask her, I'm going to piss some people off about it, but my style is, and I'm going to have to, is, have you ever thought that you had to go through what you had to go through and be where you are today because that was supposed to be what your journey?
Yes. Yes.
And have you accepted that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I would, like, if you'd asked me a year or so after my injury, if I'd regret what I did and would I change anything, yes, I would say I would have jumped higher. I would have found a better building. But if you'd asked me now, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yep.
Being back in that place, in that mindset that I was in, was catastrophic. It was not healthy at all. I would be dead. Like, yep. And I'm so sure of that. I was so set on, like, on that, and I visualized, like, that over and over and over and over again. That when I actually went about it, it was like picture perfect in a way. It's like, I wrote a script for my movie, and if it wasn't that method, it would have been something else, and I guarantee you. And where I am now, I live a fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm.
That's, no one can fucking take that from me. No one, and nothing can compare to it. Money can't buy that. Mm-hmm. Money can buy happiness. Yeah, short term, like, little high, a little buzz. Like, maybe, I don't know, you love
sports cars.
Yeah, sports cars. Far out. Yeah, you just go there, go for a, if you take for a spin, like, yeah, you've got all this adrenaline going. Like, money can buy that, but money cannot buy fulfillment.
Yep.
Yeah. And this is so deep in my soul that I just, yeah, like I said, I wouldn't change a freaking thing.
I love that. It's an interesting one when there is a situation of getting through a pivot point in someone's life, getting through a key point of their life, and then asking that question. Sometimes they're not prepared for it. Sometimes they're not ready for it, to say to them, you've had this moment in your life that has changed your life forever. It is never going to be the same again, you know, and there's a lot of people, guys, girls, teenagers, or adults, same thing going through at the moment, and have had a moment. I had my moment in 2019 with a brain tumor, and it is only taken to me now of starting to realize it, and the same sort of stuff of talking through it and going, I'm never going to be the same. There's nothing I could have done to have changed it at the moment. I've got to either accept it and drive it and let it drive it to me to become a better version, a better person of myself, or otherwise it's just going to waste my time and my emotional state to think back and going, could I've prevented it? Could I've changed it? Could I've got stayed on my original path? And as you said, your original path would have not led you anywhere better, would have not led you anywhere good. It was only worse off. And you're now on the better chain. You're on a fulfilled life and inspiring others.
Lawrence, do you live a fulfilled life and love what you do?
Most days, let's say that. I'm not going to bullshit everyone and say, hey, I do what I love every single day. There's moments, 90% of I do what I like to do. There's other moments when you don't. Anyone is in full denial to say, hey, I live 100% fulfilled life 100% of the time, because that's a crock of shirt.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, and I agree 100%. Like, I'll tell people I'm no longer depressed, anxious, suicidal, but yeah, I completely agree. I still have bad days. Still do. Anyways, where I was going with that is, so would you change your past, though, to change, I suppose, the outcome of 2019, knowing that you've lived a pretty fucking awesome life anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think nothing I would have changed to what happened in 2019. I think the biggest thing to me would have been of how I approached it afterwards and things that I've done differently afterwards, which is taking me time to now to realize that. Sort of to anyone that's followed me or on the brand, has known I've only really publicly come out about it over the last couple of months. I've only really publicly started talking about it. When I met you at UPW, I was 5 weeks after brain surgery. Most people didn't know that I was still recovering. I wasn't 100%. Yeah, I was. Wow. That was my time, and it was that's part of it, which I think would have been the only thing I would have done differently. But it was my time. It was my realization and getting down to a point where I had to learn and going, this is what it is now, and now I need to speak up about it. No more hiding, no more going behind it, no more putting a front on, you know, and saying, I'm perfect, I'm good. But at home, I'm having challenges and I'm having situations and I'm off and I'm not on. You know, there's as part of it, I'm on medication every single day. I have my moments. I have my ups and downs. These days, I can't get out of bed. These days, we don't want to be around me because I'm I'm a grumpy fuck. And that's just the way it is. And it's more sort of talking about it. And
that's, I think, you needed the time.
Yeah. And I think it's so well what you said. You spoke about being naked on stage, of when you started doing your first couple of talks, of being saying, hey, I felt like you're naked on stage. There's always that old tool where they say, hey, if you imagine yourself naked on stage in front of your event, everything's out there, you know, you get it off the table. And I think that's something that is so powerful to try and teach the youth or the adults, anyone that's worried about what people are going to think and going, why do we love reality TV so much? Why do we love cheesy reality shows out there? Because it's normal life. There's nothing special about reality TV, right? Maybe there's one or two loons that are in the show itself. But then people go, but I don't want to share my story because that's my normal life. I don't want to share that situation because that's how my life goes day to day. But yet people want to know actual normality in a crazy world. They want to hear your actual life story or hear what you're going through. And I think it's sometimes a challenge to tell people, going, just talk, just speak, just say something, and don't feel that someone's going to judge you. Don't feel necessary that it's not going to resonate, because it will resonate to a certain portion. And, you know, it might impact to a certain portion as well.
Yeah, 100%.
So after your first couple of your speeches you did going into the schools at that stage, is that where you found yourself now, pretty much what you're doing around the clock of going and speaking up, going to the schools, educating them? What is sort of the Matt journey the last 12 months and going the next 12 to 18 months forward?
Yeah, okay. So, well, I didn't actually get started at schools back then, my second 12. When I started in schools myself was mid 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So the last 12 months was a massive period of growth for me.
Yep.
In terms of my speaking, it skyrocketed. In 2018, I was getting one a month, and that was a freaking good month.
Yep.
I was so keen for that. And then come last year, it was started at twice a month and gradually built up to, in October, it was like five a week at
yep.
one stage, which is freaking awesome.
Hmm.
Awesome to me. Anyways, what's next for me? All right, so considering this coronavirus period of time,
yep.
I suppose with what I do in terms of schools, conferences and all that, it's all been cancelled.
Yep.
And I completely understand and accept the situation. I'm got some new stuff going to come out, so it's all going to be online, essentially,
mm-hmm.
because I can speak in front of an audience face-to-face. Why can't I speak to an audience online?
Yeah.
It's the exact same. I think I might need to work on my camera skills, but yeah, besides my point. So I think what's next is a TED Talk.
Yep.
That is what's next for me when that is as possible as well.
Yep.
TED Talk, so online, like group coaching, one-on-one coaching too. I'm still in the midst of figuring that out. And yeah, it's pretty like what I currently see.
Why don't you start a podcast? Perfect time.
I've thought about it. I have.
I'm sure you know someone that runs a podcast and can help you out.
I know a few people that run a podcast.
I speak to a lot of people, and that's sort of trying to look for clarity and certain around their content, and it's one of the best platforms because it's a place where people can come and listen. You know, when I do research about anyone that comes a guest, or I just do research about people naturally. Obviously, when you host a podcast, you've got to have enough skills to handle conversation. You've got to have enough knowledge to handle conversations in different niches and spaces. So I do a lot of research into people or niches and so forth. And I find always, and people, you know, again, it's something about fear that I find podcasts is the easiest way to learn because people talk there, they talk honestly, they just sometimes they go on and you get sort of some golden nuggets. And then you find a lot of people that are just saying, like, hold on, you know, I don't know how to do a podcast, or, you know, I'm not sure what to say about it and so forth. But it's as simple, you can start as a podcast, is standing there taking device, voice recorder, sitting for 20 minutes and just having a yarn and going, hey, this is me, what are you doing, and having a chat, or have someone else on the other side and uploading it. You know, it's simplistic in its nature, but it just allows it allows people to have their say, but it allows anyone else actually to find it, because podcasts is changing the world. It has been for years, and it will still do it from here going forward, because it's the most simplistic way, almost cost-free, to start one and get it out there.
Yeah, true. And there's no time like now, quite literally.
And totally. And I wouldn't be surprised. I would love to see the stats. I don't know if I would be able to. It'd likely come out in a couple of months. I'd love to see the amount of podcasts that have started in the last week to 2 weeks to 6 weeks and going on there. But then the interesting one to see is how many people are still continuing. Because as with life and with anything that we start, we always start a blaze. We start at 100%, and then a week later, we're at 90%, and then 80%, and then 6 months later, you're like, nah, stuff it. I'm not going to do it anymore. But it's the guys that push it out and put it out there. And I definitely think with what you're trying to achieve, you should look into it and have a chat to other people. Can find, if they just want content from yourself and hear your story, that's where they can go.
Yeah. I'm really considering it.
Really consider it. That's all right. We'll talk off air. I'll help nudge that and tell you and get you onto my 8-week program of how to launch it and so forth that's coming out over the next couple of weeks. So Matt, at the moment, as you said, you know, you're taking the next level of upping your coaching skills, your speaking skills, everything else. What do you feel with everything that's going on in our society at the moment, I mean, obviously the world's locked down, we're COVID-19, there's a lot of uncertainty. What is the importance from what your story is to the community out there at the moment for them to think through and work through and some and tools and tips for them?
Best thing right now is support one another.
Mm-hmm.
I have an unpopular opinion about the COVID-19 situation, which I won't go into, but in terms of the whole thing with the lockdown and people losing their jobs and people's businesses under a lot of stress, I mean, the biggest thing we can all do right now is support one another.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing, like my first turning point after my injury was actually opening up to people. And then I had a supportive network around me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that supportive network is what helped me and led me to find my purpose.
Yep.
With that support, I would not be where I am today. Yeah, I'm very, very, very grateful for that. So what we can do for one another is just be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Really check in. But don't just say, oh, how are you? But how are you really feeling? And if you're going to ask that question, be prepared to listen. Mm-hmm. Don't just ask it and expect someone to say good. No, if they're going to say, you know, I'm doing a bit rough lately, be physically present. Don't be like on your phone. Don't be like cooking or whatever. Like be physically there. Mentally, put all your attention and focus on them. Emotionally, show sympathy and empathy for what they're sharing.
Yep.
Even if it's something great. Mm-hmm. It's just with support. The first step towards supporting someone is connection, but the first step towards any bit of connection is presence. Without presence, you can't establish connection. And I feel very passionate about this because this was something that affected me earlier on in my youth when I was younger. Me and my parents never had a close relationship.
Mm.
And so that's was a big reason why I never opened up to them. It took me a long time to do it, and not just open up to them, but we very much had like we had a lot of separation in our relationship, right? Where there was a bit of a hierarchy with the parents and myself. And there needed to be some distinction, but there was no connection.
Yep.
When they were like with me, they weren't present physically, mentally, emotionally, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, I suppose that had an effect. It really did. Yeah, sorry. So we're probably going off on a tangent, supporting people. Yeah, and be there, check up on them as well.
Yeah, it's great. No point you saying there about checking up and supporting. And I love the whole be present, be present in the conversation. I'll put my hand up and my wife will support me on this decision that unfortunately I'm usually not present in our conversations as I'm too busy on my cell phone or doing something else. But yes, something we've got to pay attention to more in our society of when there's the moment of actually asking a question, we've got to be prepared to fully take what the answer is that comes back. And that's not just standing there nodding, that's actually standing there acknowledging what it is and then calculating, depending on what the answer is, what the support mechanism back is as much as saying to someone, hey, it's okay, you'll be fine, or realizing that a friend is reaching out going, I'm in a bad situation, I need help, and then understanding that next step. Doesn't mean that every single person, doesn't mean that if a friend reaches out to you and says, I'm struggling, I'm depressed, I've got anxiety, I'm suicidal, and so on. Doesn't mean that you as that friend have to go and save them or do it. You can find someone else to help you out with that. You always find a mentor to help you through that process because you are there just to give them some stability. You don't have to give them all the stability.
You can't feel responsible for how someone else feels as well.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often people feel responsible for how their loved ones feel.
Yep.
Or even good friends, it's never your fault. Understand that, and you have your intentions to support them, and that's perfect. Encourage other supports. Encourage supports around them as well, like the other people close to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what they could get out of it?
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and thanks for that, Matt. So coming up to half an hour today on the story. I think there's so much through this at the moment with our timing and everything. It's such a weird moment in our lives. It's such a weird situation. You know, anyone I'm having discussion and recordings at the moment is, you know, trying to beat through and trying to stay supported, stay as one, stay as strength when there's so much uncertainty. Is there any one final thing, Matt, you want to leave our listeners with today in this moment to focus on for the next couple of days? And then what I'm going to challenge Matt is we are now, this is recorded on the 27th of March. It'll come out a bit later after that, but I want to challenge Matt in a few days' time after this recording has come out, is I want him to give a nugget now of what to leave our listeners with. And then I want him to back it up of doing a video on his Facebook of coming back and seeing how people are doing on what he's going to give him today.
It's around love. Love is a currency that never depreciates, right? It is something that can only grow, and love never fails. And I want, I suppose, people to really show it, express it, and remind others that you do love them, that you do value them, and how far that goes is quite significant. Yeah, and that's it. Just love. Show more love. I mean, like I said earlier, and I firmly believe this: love is a value that never depreciates.
Yeah, it's so true, and it's through those moments of having love, affection, important. You know, you spoke about earlier in the show about your reasons, your why. You know, if there's love there and you move out of the picture, there's always going to be an impact. And you spoke about in the very beginning of going, you know, if I left, would be something missing. And you felt at that stage, no, there wasn't. But if there's love in the situation, if there's care, if there's understanding, if you move from that situation, there's definitely going to be something missing. Ask any person if they have something that they love, irrespective of whether it's a cell phone to an individual or human, if that person disappears, that person moves away. If they lose that person just from through loss or just from loss of relationship or so forth, there's always going to be an impact. So let's, as Matt has said, is keep the focus on the love, make it true and make it work it there, because it will help each other so much. But Matt, before we're going to end it off today, can you let our listeners know where they can actually find you? Where's the best way to reach out to you on social handles?
Yeah. So my, I have a website, mattcaruana.com. That's mattcaruana.com. My Instagram handle is Matt Shares, and Facebook is just Matthew Caruana. I am not the best on social media. I'm looking to really add that up, especially in this time. Like, I've got no excuse. So, yeah.
No, that's awesome, Matt. And to anyone that's listening, please go over and support. As much as Matt says, you know, he's not the greatest on social media, unfortunately, a lot of us these days struggle with that. He's got really got really great content. His videos are awesome. His messaging is great. So go over, give him the support. Say hi, say you watched or listened to him from the show. And at the end of the day, as with most of the episodes I've left the shows these days, is look after each other. Stay safe and make sure we know what's going on around us so we can reach out and where we need the help. Stay indoors where you have to stay indoors if you're in New Zealand at the moment. In Australia, it's similar as well. Let's not be silly in the situation. Let's not be proud in the situation. Let's just, for this moment in our lives, just step back, relax. We'll get it through it all together, and we're all here to help. And as I said in the previous few episodes, if you feel you need some help, if you feel that you are struggling, please reach out to me. Please send me a message, send me a voice note. I do not care. I will find someone. I'll find a support network to help you, whether it's just a phone call, a Zoom call, or actually finding someone physically at a certain period of time when it's suitable to come over and check up on you. I'll help out with that. But at the end of the day, thank you for coming over to the Wolf of Queen Street. Thank you for coming to listen to Matt's story and for Matt for coming on the show. And let's change the world, supporting each other, love for each other, and let's just have a great day.